Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me to this meeting. It's the third time, I think, the Global Science Forum is being presented here at the World Science Forum. And, you know, as the last speaker, I can look back on the seven different fora that were presented. Each one is different. Just shows how many different ways there are to bring together people from around the world to talk about science, the role of science, and to promote cooperation in science. And what I will describe is different from all the rest. And what I'll tell you a little bit about what the Global Science Forum is and how it works, and then I'll highlight just some of the recent work, just so you get a feeling for the kinds of things we do and the way that we do them. And this will be on some work on research infrastructures, on a particular subfield of physics, and on working, promoting cooperation between developed and developing countries. Now, the OECD is an intergovernmental organization. Its members are the governments of the European countries, of the countries of North America, Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and most recently, Chile and Israel. And the OECD, whose headquarters and entire operation is in Paris, is an organization that deals with essentially all areas of government responsibility, except for sort of defense and security issues. And among those issues is science technology policy, and more narrowly still, basic research policy. And the Global Science Forum deals with basic research policy. And it's existed since 1992, and it's had four chairmen, as it happens. And I'm happy to say that the first chairman and for 6 years was Peter Tindemans, who is here on this this podium. And the current chairman is Mr. Hiroshi Nagano of Japan. Now, OECD is intergovernmental, and the Global Science Forum is unashamedly and explicitly organized and primarily for the science funding agencies of the OECD countries and the observer countries, which I'll mention in a moment. So in terms of the activities of the forum, the primary stakeholders are the central science administrations of the member countries. These are research ministries, sometimes they're research councils, they can be called various things, but they are the government bodies that that are responsible for public science policy and spending in science. Now, to the extent that they're different, depending on the country, the funding agencies are also very explicitly involved in the work of the forum. But, and this is important, we also include in our activities, essentially always, the non-governmental bodies such as laboratories and institutes or international scientific organizations, chiefly the members of the ICSU family, depending on which subject we are dealing with. The way the forum works is that member countries propose explicit activities for the forum, and then these are debated at meetings that take place twice a year, which bring together senior science policy officials of the member and observer countries, and then some are approved, some are not, and the ones that are approved are to go forward, and they're managed by a very small secretariat of four people in Paris, of which I am the head. And so, as I hope I can convince you, you get a lot of value for money because this is really a small operation. It costs just a little over €500,000 per year, and I hope the countries and the community gets a lot out of it. So these activities, these targeted activities, let me just run over some of them from recent years so you can see the kinds of things we do. One category is to look at specific scientific issues or fields of science and to develop internationally scientific visions and roadmaps for action in these different areas. And if you look just quickly at some of these areas, you'll see there's a lot of work in the physical sciences, and that's kind of where the forum originally came from, things like neutron sources or elementary particle physics, astronomy, and so on, but also structural genomics and things like grid computing. And in each of these areas, when the activity is done, a report is published, a public report, which will contain action recommendations for governments and also for the scientific community, because the community has been involved in the deliberations. We also have do more generic projects. And again, each one of them produces a report that you can find on our website. Let me mention just one or two. For example, I think we've done some good work and some of the earliest work on dealing with research misconduct. It's an It's a subject that of course, is of increasing importance. And the Global Science Forum has produced a report that is not about philosophical. It's about what do you actually do? What are some good practices and things to think about if someone comes into somebody's office and says, I think so-and-so is fabricating data or plagiarizing. What do you actually do? What kind of investigation? Do you accept anonymous denunciations? Do you set up a committee? What do you do with the person while the committee's active? All these practical issues, they are addressed in the report. And I happen to know that some countries have used this work to set up research misconduct offices and procedures. Although it's not the main mission of the Global Science Forum, it has from time to time actually produced, set up, and spun off independent, funded research, international research projects. For example, the Global Biodiversity Information Facility, which is in Copenhagen, the Neuroinformatics, International Neuroinformatics Coordinating Facility, which is at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, the Global Earthquake Model in Pavia, Italy, and we're in the process of setting up something called SciCol, which is a consortium of scientific collection organizations. And we've also dealt and produced reports on science education and dialogues between science and society. I'd like to just now, in the remaining 5 minutes, focus on three recent, very recent activities, just as I said, to give you a feeling for how this thing actually works in practice. But before I do that, maybe I'll just show you quickly. This is a timeline from 2008, looking forward into the next couple of years, of how these activities actually work in time. And my point here is that typically these things take a couple of years. So we start something, we try to do it rather quickly, we bring together the right people, we maybe have some workshops, maybe some meetings, we produce a consensus report with findings and action recommendations, and then we stop it, we drop it. There are four of us, okay, and one of them is our sort of secretary administrator. We can't do any more than that. The things in gray, if you can read them, are finished, and the ones in white are ongoing. I'll come back to those. Okay, so there are three recent reports, and there should be copies of these reports outside if you want them. But in any case, these are public reports, and they're on the website. And let me just go through them quickly, one by one. Large research infrastructures are bread and butter for the Global Science Forum. We really spend a lot of time looking at big international projects, typically facilities, although not always, in science. And we've done two detailed reports, which have been published together. One on road mapping. Road mapping is a popular process in the policy world for dealing with large infrastructures. Since they are expensive, they take a long time they involve large commitments. You want to plan them ahead, decide which ones to implement, how, which ones nationally, which ones internationally, and so on. And so the road mapping process, and there's a report that you can read which talks about the different issues that you have to consider if you're going to have a road mapping process. It doesn't provide a recipe or a finished sort of prescription for how to do road mapping, because depending on what your goals are and depending on the subject, there are different ways to do it, but those options and the different considerations are described in our report. And then more recently, in fact, at the end of last year, we finished our report on establishing large international research infrastructures. That is, if you want to set up a large international facility, it's not an extension, international extension of a national facility, but it's truly international, like CERN or ALMA or SKA or any number of others. What are the things you need to worry about, think about? What are some possible, what are the questions? What are some possible solutions? Again, not a prescription. What do they imply? And I swear to you, if you're thinking about this in any field, whether it's agriculture or health or energy or physics, please read our report. These reports are short, and it will save you, I think, it will save someone a year or maybe 2 years of meetings, of discussions, of looking back and trying to learn lessons from the past. It's distilled in this report. Another project, this is very classic for the Global Science Forum, is to look at a particular field of science, in this case astroparticle physics, for reasons that I don't have time to go into. It's an exciting field right now. A lot of things are happening in astroparticle physics in many ways. It's sort of taking over some of the consideration of some of the most fundamental questions in physics. And I've listed here the subtopics, which are very diverse, from gravitational waves to classic cosmic ray studies to neutrinos, and in fact, possibly faster than light neutrinos. In each of these areas, we have a group. We finished one report. Now we have another group, which is funding agencies only, to look at these different areas and to outline the kind of the future and which projects could be considered on nationally, internationally, and what modes of collaboration, international collaboration, could be envisaged. And finally, let me just describe a product and a project that maybe is of particular interest to this group, which is looking at global challenges. And that is, we at the initiative of the delegation of Japan, we've produced a study and a report on good practices in international research collaboration between developed and developing countries. And the theme here is that if you are a developed country and you are going to collaborate with a developing country, what may you have to do differently, or at least consider doing differently, than your usual well-established procedures for soliciting proposals, reviewing them, funding, managing research within your own country or among developed countries? What is unique, what is different, and worth thinking about ahead of time when the collaboration was with a developing country? And it's in these fundamental sub-areas of the traditional research funding process. So again, we had a workshop. We spent a lot of time preparing workshop. We had a workshop in Pretoria, and the focus was on collaboration with African countries and research. And based on that workshop, we produced this report, which I recommend to you. Just quickly, this is what we're working on now. This shows you the diversity of our activities. Astroparticle physics, as I said, we're doing some work on data for the social sciences. International clinical research trials, distributed research infrastructures. So far we've looked at facilities pretty much for the establishment, global risk modeling, fairly technical topic, and we're looking at the impacts of large research facilities that go beyond science, that are social and societal and economic, and we're with a focus on CERN, but not exclusively. So that is the my report on the Global Science Forum, and of course, if any of you want to know more, I'm here. So thank you.